You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Tourism numbers for the state, and in particular for Northeast Wisconsin, continue to be downright impressive. An economic impact study shows visitor spending, along with hotel tax revenue, and even the number of those employed in the industry, are all up. And this is even before the NFL draft, which continues to pack up after welcoming 600,000 visitors to Green Bay. So it feels timely to feature some of the tourism opportunities in our area. Terry Barr wonders if there's a way to mash National Tourism Day on May 7th with Bike Month and if bicycling actually helps tourism here. That's coming up in the cover story. Amanda Nimmer is taking a moment to honor a day that also serves as a reason to gather for many geeks and sci-fi lovers since 1977. May the 4th be with you. And we have stories on cryptocurrency scams, allergies, and how baby food may not be the healthiest for your little one. Plus, our musical guest used to be a tourist in Nashville, but our loss is now that city's gain. Luckily, Kaylin Cole comes home now and then and joins us with some great original songs and stories later in our show. Let's open up this issue of New Wisco Weekend with a bit of a different topic. Join me as I take a tour on the spooky side with the paranormal. National Paranormal Day is May 3rd. It's a day when people explore the paranormal, share their experiences, and discuss the unknown. And it's part of the theme for this week's New Wisco Weekend. What is the paranormal? Well, the term is used to describe occurrences that can't be explained by ordinary scientific measures. They're outside of the norm, or paranormal. Todd Michaels has been working with the paranormal for well over 15 years as a hunter of ghosts, a seeker of knowledge, and the co-host of his own paranormal-focused podcast called the Sandy and Toddcast. He's also part of Real Ghost Stories Online. Todd, what do you think paranormal activity is?
There's more to our lives than just what we see and experience on a daily basis, what we see, touch, hear, feel. Those things are real, but there's other stuff going on around us all the time.
So cryptids, aliens, ghosts, time slips, other dimensions, and other worlds are all considered paranormal. Michael says Wisconsin has its share of paranormal activity.
For instance, in Wisconsin, a big one is the Beast of Bray Road, right? It's a road in Wisconsin where they see this beast that is half a human skeleton and dog, and there's pictures of it, but is it really that, you know?
Keeping an open mind and exploring all the possibilities is what draws Michaels to study the paranormal.
The worst thing that we can imagine in our mind, as far as creatures, as far as experiences, probably could exist. I'm not saying it does, but where do the ideas of our imagination come from? It's got to come from someplace. And when you look at all the cryptids around the world and you look at stuff in Australia and you look at how that's similar to the Yeti, which is similar to Sasquatch, which you understand that while all these people are experiencing different things across the globe, they're somehow connected. They're stories that are similar. That's what makes it interesting for me.
Keeping an open mind also means thinking outside of the ghost box where the paranormal is concerned.
So each region kind of has their own story, the chupacabra, and how is that related to maybe Bigfoot? And is Bigfoot real? And if so, why can't we get a decent picture of it? Is it possible that Bigfoot is a being that slips in and out of existence because of aliens? You know, there's all these new thought processes on what we're really experiencing. Is the voice we're hearing in an old abandoned building the voice of somebody who has lived, or are they living a timeline right now, but we're just not connecting on a human level? So it's opened up more to that's a ghost. Now it's like, what is that?
But is he, Todd Michaels, after two decades of investigating and hosting numerous podcasts on the subject, an expert?
Absolutely not. And anybody who thinks that they are, I think is being a little untruthful. Unless you're willing to look at all the things that that particular event could be. Not everything is a ghost, right? Not everything is an alien. If you're not willing to accept what other things it could be, I don't think you can really call yourself a paranormal investigator.
For New Wisco Weekend on National Paranormal Day, I'm Lisa Hale.
Thanks for spending a part of your New Wisco Weekend with us on 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and 97.9 WGBW and the Civic Media app.
New Wisco Weekend's resident commentator, Amanda Nimmer, is celebrating a holiday that is important for so many people. And no, I'm not talking about Cinco de Mayo coming up on Monday, nor am I talking about Paranormal Day on May 3rd. I'm talking about May the 4th. Here's Amanda.
May 4th, or what is better known in the nerd and geek community as May the 4th Be With You Day. It's Star Wars Day, people, and I have a confession. I have not seen all of the Star Wars movies. And before you get upset and start planning the inevitable Star Wars marathon, I would like to let you know that I have seen number 4, number 5, number 1, and about one-third of number 2. Because my friends always do this. They're always like, you haven't seen all the Star Wars movie? Oh my God! And then they set up a marathon, and it's always in the same order. You gotta go 4, 5, 6, then 1, 2, 3, and whatever is after that. And we never finish it. So I have seen the same movies several times. However, I am a fan of the fandom for Star Wars. I appreciate it. I mean, for crying out loud, you know, George Lucas created the franchise operation. He was the first guy ever to be like, yeah, you can use my story, you can use this and this, but I would like 100% of the profits from any merchandise you sell. And they're like, who sells merchandise? Yeah, all right, here you go, George Lucas. You see how that was their mistake? And Hollywood has never been the same. So why am I talking about Star Wars Day if I am not a Star Wars head? If I am not a fan, true fan, who knows everything? Because as I said, I'm a fan of the fandom. I'm a fan of the people who dress up and go all out and enjoy all the sci-fi related things when it comes to Star Wars. And with that, I appreciate the locations that do really special Star Wars things for May the 4th. For instance, in Green Bay, did you know there's a place called Cheesesteak Rebellion? What does cheesesteak have to do with Star Wars? Everything. This entire place is Star Wars themed. They're always playing one of the movies. They have all of this memorabilia inside. And on top of it, the cheesesteaks, my friends, are absolutely 100% delicious. Oh my God. Like, mouth-watering good. Homemade soups. Fantastic. And that's a place to check out on Sunday for May the 4th. In fact, they might even be expecting you. But maybe you don't want to just eat delicious cheesesteak in one of the coolest places ever. I don't blame you. They have limited seating and they can get pretty busy because, again, epic food. Maybe you want to go forth and let people know just how much you know about the series, about the universe, the Lucas universe. Well, then there's a couple places you could go. The Appleton Beer Factory on Sunday at 5 p.m. is going to have Star Wars trivia where you can prove that you know the most while dressing up in costume and potentially winning that as well. You could go to the Tarleton where they're playing the original Star Wars on the city's biggest original movie screen paired with a themed dinner. And this dinner is going to have, all right, again, remember, I'm a fan of the fandom, so please don't come at me. Pit roasted bantha steak with cheesy cantina bites, or you could have Cloud City Tabana Wayne skewers with root leaf stew and the option of blue bantha milk or spice runner cocktail. I mean, how cool is that? You could also go to Time Community Theater in Oshkosh and watch Return of the Jedi. Enjoy even more Star Wars trivia at The Walk in Green Bay, at Glass Nickel Pizza, also in Green Bay. Play Star Wars board or card games and demo them at Boardlandia in Appleton. I mean, basically go to any nerd shop and you're going to find something really cool. And nerd, by the way, it's not a bad term. It's a badge of honor. So let your inner geek flag fly. Embrace May the 4th, despite it being on a Sunday. I mean, it's got to happen. And live out your fandom dreams just for one day, right before Cinco de Mayo, and we eat tacos. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go. We'll be right back.
You know, you want to put your trust into the products that you buy at the grocery store, but recently I found out that baby food might not be the healthiest choice for your child. Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz has that story.
Baby foods are safe, but not all of them are healthy. A recent study from the World Health Organization says that 2/3 of baby foods on grocery store shelves in the U.S. are unhealthy. Ellen Compton is a registered dietitian with Gunderson Health System.
They were looking at baby foods in the U.S. and a lot of our food marketing kind of across the board can be deceptive, especially to, you know, busy parents who just want to grab and go and have a variety of food for their kids. There are claims on some packaging that can be somewhat deceptive. So, for example, you know, just because something says that it's organic or wholesome or BPA-free does not necessarily mean that it's going to be considered like a health food. You know, many, many things can be organic. Sugar can be organic, and you don't want to be giving your baby lots of sugar. And this study also talked a lot about, you know, there are added sweeteners in baby foods. The pouches that parents kind of tend to grab are higher in some added sweeteners. Granted, a lot of them are fruit-based, so they're going to be sweeter in nature. But having parents kind of look out for words like apple juice concentrate or any sort of juice concentrate that is going to be an added sugar that's not natural to the fruit itself that's in the pouch.
Take the claims of the pouches on the shelf with a grain of salt.
Make sure that you are using them kind of in moderation, like a quick grab and go type snack or something like that, and not relying on them completely to feed your child. So doing a variety of different foods and advancing the texture of those foods as tolerated by your own child. So making sure that they're safe when they're chewing and swallowing and they can actually handle that. Because it is important to not just be slurping down liquid food. We do need to have them develop those oral motor skills that they're going to need to, you know, someday chew something like steak. So definitely want to develop that in them too.
Ellen Compton says while the studies showed that many of those foods don't meet protein requirements, parents need to remember that fruit and vegetable purees will not have protein in them. She adds that it's okay to give babies food of this nature. From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
When we come back, Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on your local Civic Media radio stations, WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. In about 10 minutes, our cover story. Is there a Northeast Wisconsin tourism tie-in with bicycling? You may be surprised by what we learned. First, did you know that there are more than 20 cities in the state recognized as bike-friendly communities by the League of American Bicyclists? It means that there are safe and convenient ways to get around on a bike for both residents and tourists. Menasha, Appleton, and Green Bay are on our area's bike-friendly list. One of our themes this week is the paranormal, and Pete Schwabba's got a great film for us.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
Sticking with this week's New Wisco Weekend theme, we take a trip back to 1999 for some paranormal classic movie fun. Can you see dead people? Hopefully not, but if so, then this week's pick will seem like it was made just for you. The Sixth Sense has one of the biggest surprises in movie history. I'm not saying there aren't people that saw the big twist at the end coming, but most of us did not. Bruce Willis plays child psychologist Malcolm Crowe. Crowe receives a visit from an ex-patient of his named Vincent Gray, played by Donnie Wahlberg. Gray is enraged because he believes that Crowe was completely ineffective as his counselor. Crowe ends up being shot in the stomach before Wahlberg's character turns the gun on himself and takes his own life. A few months later, after we think Crow's stomach wound has healed, he meets Cole, a 9-year-old boy played brilliantly by Haley Joel Osment. Cole reminds Crow a lot of Vincent Gray, so Crow thinks he can make up for past transgressions by counseling Cole, not expecting to find that Cole has a special talent, also known as a sixth sense.
I want to tell you my secret now. I see dead people.
In your dreams? While you're awake? Dead people like in graves and coffins?
Walking around like regular people. We don't see each other. They only see what they want to see. They don't know they're dead.
Willis's character doesn't quite believe Cole at first, but he's fascinated by the boy and spends more time studying Cole's condition than spending time with his wife Anna, played by Olivia Williams. The situation takes a toll on their marriage, or so we are led to believe. In addition to Willis, Wahlberg, Osment, and Olivia Williams, the cast is completed by Toni Collette, who plays Cole's mother. Both Collette and Osment received Academy Award nominations for Best Supporting Actress and Best Supporting Actor. Osment is especially brilliant given his age, and there is no shame in a 12-year-old losing an Oscar to Michael Caine. In addition to the two acting nods, the film received 4 other Academy Award nominations, including Best Original Screenplay and Best Director for Shyamalan, Best Picture, and Best Editing. Even though this was not his directorial debut, his brilliant writing and directing put M. Night Shyamalan on the map. Interestingly, his 2 previous films, Wide Awake and Praying with Anger, are both comedy dramas that received mixed reviews. The Sixth Sense was followed up by the popular Unbreakable in 2000 and Signs in 2002. Shyamalan says he wrote The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis in mind right from the start. The American Film Institute is a huge fan of the movie. In 2007, it ranked The Sixth Sense as the 89th best movie of all time. The quote, "I see dead people," was the 44th most popular in movie history, according to the Institute. And my favorite fun fact about The Sixth Sense, actress Toni Collette says the story and characters resonated with her so much emotionally, she didn't even realize it was a horror film until after it was released. Although Shyamalan has been prolific since his breakout film, in my opinion, he's never come close to matching it. But then again, most filmmakers haven't. The Sixth Sense is a masterpiece, and it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
As the trees start to bud, pollen counts are spiking all over Wisconsin. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains why they are so bad this season and some ways to make symptoms more manageable.
When people who are allergic breathe in pollen, it triggers an inflammatory response. Some of the consequences of this inflammation include nasal congestion, nasal drainage, and sneezing. In fact, 1 out of 3 adults suffer from seasonal allergies, and for the kiddos, it's 1 out of 4. And as allergy season amplifies, people tend to turn to over-the-counter medications for relief.
For our antihistamines, if you're having watery eyes, sneezing, or if you're having like a runny nose, antihistamines are the best medication to use for those symptoms. For decongestions, if you're having like a stuffy nose or nasal congestion, a decongestions will be a best choice for that. But if you are experiencing all symptoms, using both medications will have a complete relief.
That's Rebecca Tao, a pharmacy resident with Aspirus Health here in central Wisconsin. Antihistamines include things like Claritin, Benadryl, Zyrtec, and Allegra. And decongestants are mainly Sudafed, nasal sprays like Flonase and Rhinocort, and eye drops like Pataday. Tao says can be effective, but it's only for short-term use. So if symptoms stay long-term, you're going to want to see a doctor. And be mindful of potential drug interactions.
Especially to treat high blood pressure, or if you're taking sedative medications such as opioids or anti-anxiety medications or antidepressant medication, because taking these medications together can cause unwanted side effects, or it can also reduce the effectiveness of your prescription drugs.
And there are other ways besides pills, she says, that you can use to reduce symptoms with lifestyle changes or having some certain environmental strategies.
You'll want to wash your hands or face frequently or take showers after you're outdoor. Use a purifier in the house or just cleaning your house regularly can help reduce your allergy symptoms.
And research shows that allergies have only been getting worse with a longer season and more pollen in the air. Here's how. We've got a warming climate. I mean, last year was the warmest on record ever, and we're ultimately seeing a longer freeze-free season. What I mean is the ground thaws sooner, and it allows trees to grow pollen to be in the air earlier and stay longer into the year. Research shows that on average, the pollen and allergy season is now 3 weeks longer compared to how long it was just 50 years ago. So as the warmer weather extends the growing season, we also have CO2 boosting pollen levels. And with higher and higher levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide every year, which is a major greenhouse gas, it's increasing the amount of pollen even more. Compared to the same time frame 50 years ago, now plants and trees are producing about 20% more pollen particles than before. And for people who are experiencing a new onset of allergies, it's because changes in the temperatures and precipitation patterns are allowing plants and trees to grow in places that they simply didn't before. And right now, various different tree pollens are spiking high in the state. And rain can be a good thing for pollen allergies. But it is possible to have too much of a good thing. Here's what I mean. If it's a steady, light rain, it helps. It washes the pollen to the ground. But if it's a storm downpouring, watch out for a spike in pollen counts, mold, and dust mites soon after. Because the heavy rain is breaking the original clumps of pollen into smaller particles, therefore intensifying them. So as you can see, with climate change, expect allergies to only become worse. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Still to come on New Wisco Weekend, we turn the page to our cover story and a question: does bicycling contribute to tourism in our area? We'll be back with that right after the news. Thank you for joining us for New Wisco Weekend. For Civic Media's WISS and WGBW, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's Bike Month, and Wednesday is National Tourism Day. But do the two help each other here in Northeast Wisconsin? And what about taking your own travels by two wheels instead of four, especially if you're a first-timer? Well, Terry Barr finds the answers to all of these questions and more in our cover story today. Here's Terry.
If I would suggest taking a vacation on your bicycle, what would you think? Peter and Tracy Flukey not only support bike tourism, but they've done it. And they continue to do it. I am so happy to have them joining me today. Peter and Tracy Flukey, the owners of WeBike, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting us.
First off, what is WeBike?
WeBike is our family-based consulting business based right out of our home here in northeastern Wisconsin. And at WeBike, we specialize in the areas of engineering, education, and enforcement for walking, biking, and healthy communities.
If bicycle riders want to tour around Northeast Wisconsin, can you do it easily and safely? What have you found in your adventures?
Yeah, you can. You just need to be aware of where you are. If you're not comfortable, you haven't been biking for a while, then either get someone to help you out with that, maybe someone that you know that rides quite a bit that can help you to pick the roads and show you how to move safely through traffic. We also have some great trails in Northeast Wisconsin, the Fox River Trail, the Mountain Bay Trail, the East River Trail, all great facilities for someone to get on and very easily move from place to place, whether they're out there for recreation or they're out for transportation to go back and forth to work or to the grocery store.
Do you have a favorite in Northeast Wisconsin?
Every time somebody asks me that, they'll say, what was your favorite trip or what's your favorite place to go? My comparison is that's like asking me which one of my daughters is my favorite because they're all different. It depends on the mood. So in our case, it depends. Are we just going for a quick little ride? And if it is, it might be a coffee shop. It might be a brewery. It might be out to dinner. It just depends on, you know, how much time you have. There are times that we'll take it down to the pier. We'll head down to Kakana for coffee. We might go down to Thousand Islands. We might go up to Door County. So what we always like to tell people is that we go the same places everybody else does. We just do it by bike. And the reason we do it by bike is we think that when you do it by bike, it makes everything better.
Do you feel bike tourism is a real thing? Is this happening in Wisconsin and in Northeast Wisconsin in particular?
Absolutely, it is a real thing. It brings a lot of money into the state of Wisconsin. There's also the farm to market roads in Wisconsin that are really good to bicycle on. It's the rural roads that you can get out on and go for. Well, sometimes Peter and I will be out on those roads and we'll be biking for like an hour and have one car pass us the whole day. So yeah, we have great places to bike and people are definitely coming here to do it.
I think one of the things that people don't realize about bicycle tourism, because it's so subtle, right? It's so low on the impact. You know, it's not like the draft where we just pumped, you know, 200,000 people into the area. You'll have a bicyclist who may be from Australia and just came across the Lake Michigan on the SS Badger and now is continuing their trip and spending the night with us in Green Bay. But most people would never have any idea that those people were even in town. We have had people stay with us in northeastern Wisconsin from Australia, from Germany, from China, from Taiwan.
You have traveled by bike. You have gone across the country a couple of different times, but I want to ask you about my favorite because I've always thought I want to do this by car. But after knowing about your close to 3,000 mile ride on Route 66, tell me about this.
We started in Green Bay, biked down through Chicago, got on the Route 66 route and bicycled all the way to Santa Monica, California. It was a great adventure. And we saw so many amazing things. And Route 66 is cool because not only does it have a lot of natural areas, but all these really quirky little things along the route that bring you in and help you to explore the route.
Talk about tourism. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to let everyone know I'm talking with WeBikes Peter and Tracy Flukey, but I have to bring up, you know, we're talking about bicycling and obviously most people think, you know, one person on one bike, one person on another bike. But when we're talking about some of the tourism and travels you do it together on one bike. Why?
So when we do our major tours, and often when we're just going out for rides together, we'll ride our tandem bicycle. And the funny thing in the tandem bicycling world is they say whichever way your relationship is going, it'll get there much, much faster on a tandem bicycle.
You know, and the interesting thing about riding a tandem together and then going to write our books. When we first started wanting to write our first book, our publisher said, you need to write it in both of your voices. And we're like, really? And when you know, I'm only 6 inches behind him on the bike, but my experience is very different than his potentially. And if my voice was not in that book, you would get half of the trip or half of the adventure. Just adds to the ability to really enjoy that adventure together and each of us seeing and exploring something different.
Your books are available on your website, which is webike.org. And obviously people can find so much more information. You've been biking a long time. So what do you say to someone who is hearing this and thinking, maybe I want to get on a bike and do some touring this summer? Where do they start?
So the first thing that I tell them is you need a bicycle, and it doesn't matter what bicycle you have. The bicycle you ride is the best bicycle for you. Just get on it and start to ride. The next thing is start out slow. We will have people that will jump on their bike and they'll say, I hate bicycling, my butt hurts, you know, da 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 da. The biggest muscles in your body are the ones that you're using to propel yourself on the bike and the ones you're sitting on. I literally will say to people, take a ride around the block, go put the bike away, see how you feel the next day. If you feel okay, get on the bike, go around the block two times. And if you still feel okay, just keep it working your way forward. Tracy and I did not start out doing 100-mile rides, right? We worked our way up slowly and steadily, because the last thing you want to do is have crazy expectations in your mind about what you think bicycling is and not have them match what your butt thinks it is. So start out slow. And we call bicycling an apprenticeship sport. The best way for you to learn how to ride and to enjoy it is find somebody you know that's willing to let you tag along, who already understands a lot of those things.
It is National Bike Month. Is there anything special that the two of you will be doing for it?
Every day is National Bike Day or Bike Month for us. Check out either League of American Bicyclists or Wisconsin Bicycle Federation and sign up for class. Learn a few things about it so you're really comfortable out there on your bike. And the more comfortable you are, the more you will be out there.
The only other thing that I would say is that people get very concerned about their safety on a bike, almost to the point where they're afraid that if they get on a bike, that they're going to get in a crash and something terrible might happen. When what they're missing is the biggest risk to you is not being heart healthy, not getting the advantages of the exercise. The problems that people have on their bike, they're both predictable and preventable. And if they're predictable and preventable, then you can learn how to ride safely and negate most of that risk. A third of all bike crashes involve a bicyclist riding facing traffic. It's illegal and unbelievably dangerous because you're in an unpredicted location. Once you know not to do that, a third of your risk just went away. How crashes happen for bicyclists and for motorists are predictable and preventable. You can learn those things in a class and be significantly safer while riding.
Excellent advice. And I know so much of this is also on your website, and I'm going to mention that again, webike.org. Thank you so much for taking time to chat with me. This is We Bikes, Peter and Tracy Flukey. And again, happy National Bike Month.
Happy National Bike Month.
Happy National Bike Month indeed. Did you know that we have more than 300 mountain biking trails across the northeast region of our state, equaling close to 500 miles? And a Wisconsin Bike Federation survey shows that 70% of us want to bike even more than we do right now. In a proactive approach to crime prevention and a way to stop people from falling victim to a scam and losing money, law enforcement agencies across Winnebago County are placing signs next to Bitcoin ATMs. These signs warn people using the ATMs to purchase cryptocurrency of the common scams the police are seeing. Kate Mann, Public Affairs and Crime Prevention Officer with the Oshkosh Police Department, says that in the last 4 years, they've seen people lose nearly $500,000 in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency scams.
Since 2021, we've had over 35 of these scams specifically involving the Bitcoin ATM scams, and that came with a loss of over $485,000.
The posters placed next to the Bitcoin ATMs are designed to get people to slow down and think about what they're doing.
We wanted to look for a new innovative way to get the information out to citizens. You know, we tried talking with media, doing interviews, posting on social media, going out in the community, doing presentations. And this is just another opportunity for us to get information out to people, and especially at the source too. So we wanted to put this poster up next to one of those ATMs, and it says, you know, stop, this could be a scam. And it has a series of questions to get people thinking that, wow, this caller might be a scammer, and to pause and really think about it before they put that money into the machine.
Mann says the scams using Bitcoin come in several different forms, many of which are very convincing.
You know, sometimes they make it seem like it's an emergency. like their grandchild is in trouble. They need to make this payment right away. Some other stories that we've heard scammers use are that they missed jury duty or they have a warrant out for them, and this is how they make payment for that. The other day, we had somebody receive a message on their computer saying that it was for computer support and they needed to go to this Bitcoin ATM. So there's really a variety of scams out there involving these Bitcoin ATM machines.
Many scammers use fear and a sense of urgency or claim emergencies to get people to act quickly without thinking.
Like, oh, you have to do this right now. You know, either emergency or they're making it sound very scary. Like there's going to be consequences if you don't. And I always tell citizens when I'm out in the community talking about it that just because it's this person's emergency doesn't necessarily mean it's yours. And to just kind of, you know, slow down and verify what's going on.
Mann said the best way to deal with any caller who's claiming an emergency or an urgent situation is to hang up. Then call the agency directly through known phone numbers or channels to verify the situation. If a caller claims your grandchild or other loved one is in danger, call that person. If a caller claims you have a warrant out, call the police department directly to check on the validity of the situation.
Before they put money into the Bitcoin ATMs or buy gift cards, anything like that, to just stop real quick and verify the story. And that might involve hanging up and calling directly to the person that you know that can verify it before sending the gift cards out or sending their money. Because once that money's gone, it's really hard to get back.
If you have been a victim of a Bitcoin or cryptocurrency scam, or if you think someone is trying to scam you, contact your local police department. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
If you missed part of the show or want to share it with a friend, check it out wherever you find your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. This is New Wisco Weekend on 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and 97.9 WGBW.
Coming up, one of our own is a Nashville tourist no more. Lucky for us, on a recent visit home, she brought her songs and stories to our studio. We declare her a rising star, so you don't want to miss it. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Growing up with musical parents, a father who was a disc jockey, and a youth filled with singing and music, all that started Kaylin Cole on her path to making her living singing and songwriting. She appeared on a recent episode of Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show. Here's John Mino, Jim Schmidt, and Kaylin Cole.
I'm glad to be back. This is my first time with y'all, though. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into music, and how did you get here? I mean, go ahead.
Yeah,
give us your story.
I'm a very extroverted person. I feel like majority of the music industry is. Like, I was in choir. I was in theater when I was a child. I have a lot of my choir teachers to thank just for, like, believing in me. And so when I was younger, my dad has a brother, and he was a musician in his college age, cool. Early 20s. And so I thought he was, you know, everything. So he is my main influence.
And that's where you got the spark.
Yeah. And so my dad was also a DJ, too. And so he had...
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
It was a station near, I believe, La Crosse. He would bring in a new CD, like, almost every week. And it was either, like, Sean Paul, Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley. So I had grow up on those kinds of songs. Further on, I started doing karaoke competitions. And that's when my parents were like, are we biased or is she actually, like, does she have something?
Oh, yeah.
And I was, you know, taking first or third place in karaoke competitions, and I was the youngest, and the second youngest was mid-30s. I was 11.
Wow.
Yeah. This one talent competition was in Black River Falls, and on the panel of the judges was somebody from Nashville. And I was 15, and he came up to me, and he was like, have you ever heard of Nashville, Tennessee? And this was 2016. I was like, no, where's that? And so that summer, my parents and I took a trip down, and I fell in love. I just didn't take the college route because college will always be there. Opportunities will not always be there. So I'd much rather use that to my advantage.
Kaylin Cole, bring it on, young lady.
Sounds good. This song is going to be out in the fall. I'm currently in the studio right now. This one's called Goner. I wrote this with Marla Cannon Goodman and Lexi Liu.
I guarantee she's got a suitcase tucked up underneath her bed frame. One look inside would be a dead giveaway, 'cause she's always ready to run, ready to jump, ready for the getaway. She's a take what you want her. She's got a silver tongue on her, whispered in your ear and telling you what you wanna hear. You're just a pawn in her game. Oh, 'cause she's on a whole nother level. You're dancing around with the devil. Then leave her alone, her. Nobody gonna own her. She ain't a hanger on her. No, that girl's a goner. She's got a full tank, no rear view to look back, no, 'cause she ain't the needle buried in the dash, just like her heart, just like her past. She's hitting the gas, getting out fast, it's over just like that. Oh, 'cause she's the take what you want her. She's got you wanna hear. You're just a pawn in her game, 'cause she's on a whole nother level. You're dancing around with the devil. Then leave her a loner. Nobody gonna own her. She ain't a hanger on her. No, that girl's a goner. Yeah, that girl's a goner. Long gone, goner. She's a true lie, you can't right or wrong her. A goodbye, see you so longer. Nobody knows, nobody knows what haunts her. She's a take what you want her. She's got a silver tongue on her, whispered in your ear and telling you what you wanna hear. You're just a pawn in her game, 'cause she's a she ain't a hanger on her. No, that goes a goner. Yeah, that goes a goner. Long gone, goner. Gone, 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 goner. Long gone, 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 goner. Long gone, 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 goner.
Wow, that's great. Again, though, what a great... You were just telling us during the break, though, what a tough business, huh?
It's a business, you know?
Wow.
It's so much more than the music, you know? It really is, so...
And that's kind of life, and you're learning that, you know? It is. You don't have an agent.
No.
You're not part of a band that has a business manager.
No,
it's you.
I actually... So I do a variety of acts. I mainly do solo because it's easy logistically to go and travel and also stay, and it's a lot cheaper and financially a better option to do solo stuff. But I love bringing my friends on the road. I actually had Lexi Liu here last time with me at the station.
How can we find your music?
You can find it anywhere. Okay. You can ask Alexa to play it. Sometimes if she's in the right mood, she'll play it for you.
What's it like to busk?
Busking. That's so funny because somebody told me that I should do that more.
What is it? What's busking?
Busking is basically standing out on the side of the sidewalk just with opening your guitar case for tips and just kind of singing to the people that'll listen.
Do you ever do that?
I actually have never done that, and that's kind of on my bucket list.
Kaylin Cole, K-O-L-E. Look her up, ladies and gentlemen.
Please.
Do your thing.
Sounds good.
You think you're the life of the party, got a cup of Bacardi.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, a look at the paranormal, biking, and tourism in Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer and resident paranormal investigator is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Joanne Krulatz, Brittany Merlot, and Pete Schwabba. Our commentator is Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, feel free to email me anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.